Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents When Monsters Bleed by Debbie Cassidy, narrated by Arlene Seberg. Chapter 1. Rue. There were monsters in my world. I'd evaded them all my life, survived by using my training and brought back supplies for my settlement. These monsters were predictable because they hadn't pretended to be anything less than they were. There'd been some comfort in that. But in the last few days, everything changed. The word monsters grew to apply to creatures we believed to be our saviors. The word monsters now felt wrong when applied to the beasts that I made a bargain with a few short days ago. So, I was forced to ask myself, what is a monster? Had we been wrong all along? Rue, Rue, snap out of it. Shem's voice was an abrasion to my senses, drawing me out of the soft haze I'd retreated into. We're about to land. The beat of his wings registered along with the sting of cold night air. Two figures flew up ahead, Tumiel with Bastion in his grip and Sark beside him. Zack trailed behind us, watching our six. Panic squeezed my gut in the reality of our situation. The reality I'd been shoving to the back of my mind surged to the forefront. The Celestials were after us. They'd killed a bunch of my people, purged them, burned them to ash along with Javier and... I sucked in a sharp breath as pain lanced through my chest. Damn it. Shem's grip on me tightened. They won't follow us, not this far into the Deadlands. He sounded certain. Like he wanted to reassure me. He thought I was afraid of them, afraid for my life. He had me so wrong. I wish they would follow. The words tasted bitter as I spat them out. I wish they'd come so I can kill them. His chest vibrated against my back. A noble thought, but pointless. You're no match for them, and right now, neither are we. I knew this. I fucking knew it, but I needed to feel powerful. I needed to feel like I could make them pay for what they'd done, what they'd taken. My breath caught and twisted in my chest. Fuck, it hurt. I pushed back tears and blinked away the image of Jamie's face, the moment before he... We're not strong enough now, but we will be. Yes, Rue. Once we have the pieces of the relic, we'll be strong enough, and we will bring them down. I had to believe that. I needed to believe it. I owed it to my people, to my friend Javier, and to Jamie, the man I would have loved with all my heart. My chest hollowed and filled with a fresh wave of pain at the thought. I blinked back tears. Focus. Javier and Jamie were gone, but Bastion was alive, and the Watchers had urged some of the humans to run, which meant... Shit. We have to go back. What? Shem asked. There are survivors. We've got to find them. We can't risk going back. I thought you said the Celestials wouldn't come this far. He made a sound of exasperation. It's not the Celestials I'm worried about. The sun has gone down. The skies are dangerous. We must minimize how long we're exposed. Of course, they needed me alive so I could help them locate the pieces of the ancient relic that would give them back their celestial light. I was vital to that plan, and the plan was vital to saving our world. A few weeks ago, I may have agreed with Shem in his philosophy of sacrificing the lives of a few to save the many, but I'd seen too much death and pain since then, lost too many loved ones. The few humans running scared out there were all that was left of my past, my home. I wouldn't leave them to die. We had a deal, Shem. You vowed to protect my people. His grip on me was suddenly crushing. Yes, we had a deal, and you broke it by wielding Michael's sword. You brought them to us. My heart sank. He was right. I had made the call that resulted in the purge. You're right. All the deaths were my fault. I fucked up. But I'm not running away now. I have to go back and... What? Atone. You think putting your life in jeopardy and risking the fate of the world is atonement? The scout part of my brain agreed and accepted. But the woman, the daughter, the friend, the human was stronger right now. Shem, please. My voice cracked. I need to save them. Help me save them. Save somebody. His wings beating the air punctuated the silence. I held my breath, waiting. Finally, he let out a low growl of exasperation. Damn you, human. I fear you'll be more trouble than you're worth. He called out something in his watcher tongue. Tumiel glanced over his shoulder, emerald eyes glowing slightly in the gloom. Then our whole troop veered left, rising a little before swooping as we turned back to scout for our missing humans. It was dark below us. The moonlight was anemic, and my night vision was shit. I had to rely on Shem and the others to scope out the terrain. We flew east of the tracks in the general direction my people had run, hoping to intercept them when Sark spotted something.
I see someone.
He dropped in altitude, beelining for a crop of trees. We followed. I spotted a flash of white in the foliage, followed by movement. There was something in the tree. Not something, someone, several someones.
Clever,
Shem said. Maybe your humans aren't a lost cause after all. They were hiding in the trees, and as we got closer, they looked up with smudged, frightened faces. Clara held her son Sam tight against her side as they huddled beneath the canopy. Niall had his son David pressed back against the tree, shielding the boy with his body. We dropped closer, and I caught sight of Sissy clinging to Bark, her dark hair in disarray and a huge grin on her face. I knew you'd come back for us, she called out. These people trusted me. Even after. A tree on the outer edge of the cluster rustled, the branches shivering. Shem, did you see that?
Eyes on the tops, Shem called out.
He pulled up, hovering in the air, wings beating to stay above the tree line, arms wrapped around me, anchoring me to his powerful body. More trees shivered, creating a wave that moved closer to the cluster where my people hid.
What is it? What's in the trees?
Rue? Sissy's eyes were all eye whites. Rue, what's happening? What do you see?
I count three, Sark called back.
Three what? Niall yelled. Panic tainted the air.
We have to get out, Clara shouted. We need to run.
Do not move, Shem ordered. If you run, then you're prey. Right now, they're simply curious.
Who? My voice was a whisper because I didn't want my people to hear. I didn't want to fuel the panic. Who's in the trees, Shem? The canopy shivered again, and Clara cried out in alarm.
Fuck this!
A man I didn't recognize cried. He had to be from the group we'd saved.
I'm getting out of here.
He grabbed a branch and swung his body outward, eager to climb down.
Don't,
Zack warned, just as something exploded out of the adjacent tree and leapt at the man. What was that? It looked like a naked child, except children didn't have spines on their backs. They didn't have such long, thin fingers, and they certainly didn't have tiny white horns. The creature hit him in the chest, propelling him back against the tree trunk. He connected with an oomph and stared dumbly at the monster as if he couldn't quite wrap his head around what he was seeing. The creature pulled back his horned head, made a weird gargling sound, then bit off the man's face. Chapter 2. Michael.
Too much death. Too much destruction. The purge always comes with a cost. I see it now in the piles of human ash seeping into the earth. The horror of it settles on my shoulders like a shadowy shroud. The rain batters my wings, creating a melody of sorrow as I walk amongst the dead. So many dead, and for what? I did not get what I came here for. The human female is gone. Shem has her, which means we are all in grave danger.
Michael, over here.
Agnus raises a hand to gain my attention. I stride toward him, boots sinking into the earth with each step.
What is it?
Look. He points at a pile of ash untouched by the rain. It glows with ethereal light as it comes together to take the form of a man.
What is this madness? Agnus says. No human can withstand the purge. Only a celestial can.
But I know what this is. A celestial, yes. Or a sweeper with the serum fresh in his veins. Agnus makes a gruff sound and shakes his head.
Ah, makes sense then.
The male takes form. I have seen this face beside hers at base 15, and I saw the way he reached for her tonight, the way she screamed for him. The shroud of responsibility presses down harder on me. If I could have halted the purge. But what is done is done.
What do we do with him? Agnus asks.
There is only one thing to do. We take him with us. He is important to her, and I can most definitely work with that.
Chapter 3. Rue. A child's shrill scream battered my eardrums, but it was overshadowed by the crunch of bone and wet squelch of fleshy chewing as the creature ate the man's face. The guy's body jerked, his arms shooting out, hands splayed starfish-like before slumping against the tree, surrendering to his fate. The child screamed again. The trees around us shivered, and terror filled my veins with ice.
"We have to get them out of the trees," Shem yelled.
The little monsters weren't curious any longer. They were in full attack mode.
"Get out of the trees," Bastion echoed.
People began to look for a way to scramble down. I glanced across at Bastion, held tight in Tumiel's grip, his jaw tense with frustration. Where was his sword? Gone? Fuck. He met my eyes briefly, and I saw my pain echoed there. These were our people. We were responsible for protecting them. But right now, the only people who could save them were the Watchers, and we were a burden.
"Put me down," I shoved at Shem's arm. "Put me down and help them."
He gripped me tighter and growled.
"Damn it, Shem, will those things come for us if we're on the ground?"
He made an angry sound and whirled away from the trees.
"Stay put, or I'll make you pay."
He descended low enough to drop me safely. I hit the ground in a crouch, and Bastion joined me a moment later. We spun to take in the carnage behind us where the forest seethed with deadly intention, muffling screams of horror. Above us, Zack beelined for Clara and Sam. She shoved her son into his arms.
"Keep him safe, please."
Something shot out of the shadows toward her, pale and hungry. The boy cried out in shock, but Zack acted fast, grabbing Clara's hand and hauling her out of the tree. The creature slammed into the trunk and let out an angry wail, gnashing its needle-like teeth. Head-on like this, there was no mistaking it for a child. Its head was a triangular shape with angry slits for nostrils and black almond eyes. The rest was all mouth, unhinged jaw and teeth. So many gnashing teeth. Shem shot up into the air with one of the fuckers hanging off his arm by its teeth. Shem grabbed its head and squeezed until it popped like a grape. The creature fell back into the trees. I caught sight of the wound on his arm, dripping with blood, before he dove out of view. Panic gripped me.
"He's all right," Bastion said. "He'll heal. They heal fast."
I nodded, swallowing to moisten my dry mouth, eyes tracking the trees, looking for movement, looking for him, for the Watchers. A few people ran out of the forest. Sark appeared carrying Sissy. He dropped her by us and headed back into the trees. Shem reappeared a moment later with Patrick, dumped him and headed back. Someone let out a blood-curdling scream. Another victim. My gut heaved, and rage burned a path at my throat. Bastion took my hand and squeezed.
"Keep it together." His voice was low. "They need us."
The sound of my people's sobs finally made it past the pounding and whoosh of blood in my ears. Their horror-stricken faces smeared with dirt and blood registered. I counted four of my original group. Sissy, Patrick, Clara, and Sammy, and five from the group we'd saved from the Knuckle of V. Niall, his son David, and three others whose names I didn't know.
Nine.
Was that all that was left? The Watchers emerged empty-handed from the trees, wings catching the air to take them higher, then flattening out to coast and bring them down toward us. No more humans. This was all that was left of our group. Just us. 11 humans in total.
I couldn't lose anyone else. I wouldn't. Jamie, Javier, all the loss and the grief would have to wait. I had a job to do. The watchers landed around us and my gaze zeroed in on Shem's bloody arm. The wound had healed. I focused on my people, guilt a burn in my chest for checking on him first. Is anyone hurt? Does anyone need immediate medical attention? Bastion had a small med pack strapped to his waist. It was all that was left of our supplies. People shook their heads, peering up at me with dull eyes. Bastion crossed to Shem, speaking to him in a low voice. What were they talking about? Sissy approached and pulled me into a hug. Thank you for coming back. My eyes heated and pricked. Always.
Listen up, Bastion said, breaking away from Shem. We have some lethal territory to cross, and there's nowhere to shelter. The attack, his throat bobbed. It's put us off course, added a day to our trek. We'll be traveling by night, which is the most dangerous time, but we can make it if we stick to three simple rules. He nodded in Shem's direction, handing him the floor.
Three rules, Shem said. Stay together. Do as I say. Move silently. Break any of these rules, and we will leave you to die.
Clara began to sob, and Sammy looked up at Tumiel. You'd leave us?
Tumiel's gaze softened. He opened his mouth to speak, but Shem cut him off with a growl. No exceptions.
The boy whimpered, and Zack shot Shem a disapproving look. Tumiel's nose twitched, but despite the fact he seemed to have developed a bond with the boy, he didn't correct his leader.
Am I clear? Shem asked.
Murmurs of assent drifted over the group.
Good. We should reach shelter by dawn. You'll have till midday to rest. Then we'll continue our journey. If all goes to plan, we'll reach the colony before sundown tomorrow.
Shem strode over to me and took my arm.
You stay with me.
I opened my mouth to argue, then snapped it shut again because right now, with threat looming around us, right beside Shem was the safest, sanest place to be. After all, I had to stay alive to make Michael pay for his crimes. Shem's intimidating frame towered over me as we walked. His crimson skin looked dark gray in the moonlight, and his bat wings were inky black and folded like daggers against his back. The road we walked was bordered by empty fields overgrown with weeds and wildflowers, defiant of the changing season. There could be monsters hiding in the fields, tracking us.
We're safe for now, Shem said softly, as if reading my thoughts.
Thank you for listening and going back for them, he snorted.
I did what was needed to prevent trouble later.
Trouble? He glanced down at me.
An unyielding guide is no use to us.
I had a piece of Shem's soul inside me, the part of him that could track the pieces of their shattered ancient relic and give the Watchers back their light. But reassembling it would do more than that. It would reopen the doors to the Celestials' home and force them back. It would also draw all the monsters out of our world and back into their own realms. Shem wanted me to believe that he'd gone back to prevent me from refusing to help him later, but he knew how badly I wanted to save my world. He knew the stakes were too high for me to back out. Helping the Watchers find the relic pieces and expel these motherfuckers back to where they came from was the only thing keeping me together right now, and Shem knew it. He hadn't gone back just because of me. Bullshit, Shem. You went back because you care. His head whipped around and his eyes narrowed.
Do not make the mistake of attributing human emotion to me and mine. We care for nothing but our goal.
He was lying to himself, and the slight flinch of his eyes told me he'd registered it. But he wasn't the only Watcher who cared. I'd seen the soft look in Tumiel's eyes and the defiance in Zack's. They cared for humanity, even if Shem refused to admit it. But I knew when not to push a point. We fell into silence. There was a scuffle behind us, and I looked over my shoulder in time to see Tumiel lift Sammy into his arms. The little mite looked wiped, barely able to keep his eyes open. David, the older boy, clung to his father's hand, forcing one foot in front of the other. After the adrenaline rush of the last two attacks, these people were ready to crash.
There was no way they'd be able to keep moving until dawn. I grasped Shem's fingers to get his attention. He glanced down at his hand with a slight frown. I held firm until he lifted his gaze to meet mine. "Are you sure there isn't anywhere we can rest, even for a couple of hours?" He expelled air from his nostrils. "I would have said so if there was." I give him a flat look. "I don't believe there's nowhere. Maybe nowhere easily defended or already scoped out, but there has to be somewhere." His jaw worked. "Look, they're exhausted. After everything they've been through, they need to recharge. We'll move faster if they rest." "You, little human, are a pain in my ass." He leaned in. "I think I'll have to return the favor sometime soon." I stared at him blankly for a moment. Did he mean he wanted to? An explicit image filled my head, flooding my body with warmth and softening it in ways that were totally unacceptable. My cheeks heated. I thought I was clear about that sort of thing. My tone was stiff and prudish, and I winced internally. "You were." His hot breath kissed my face. "But needs and wants change." His gaze dropped to my mouth. "Don't they?" My stomach flipped hard, and I turned my face away. "Is there somewhere to bunk out or not?" I bit the words out. "There's a barn a quarter of a mile out. We haven't cleared or secured it so it could be compromised." He slowed his pace and then said something to Zack in their watcher tongue. Zack nodded and then zoomed off up the road. "Wait, will he be okay alone?" Shem looked at me in surprise. "You're worried about him." I glared at him. "Yes, I'm worried." "Why? He's just a monster." A few days ago, I would have agreed. But now... "No." I shook my head firmly. "He's not a monster. He's Zack, and he's one of the team." Shem lifted his chin and gazed down his nose at me with an undecipherable expression. "He'll be fine. Zack is fast. Faster than the things that would try to hunt him. He'll be back with the status report soon." He was probably right, but it didn't stop me picking up my pace. Whether to get to the barn quicker or away from the conflicting emotions Shem was evoking, I wasn't sure. Chapter 4. Half the barn roof was missing, and shafts of gray moonlight slanted down onto the worn wooden floor. We congregated on the opposite side, where it was warmer, but cool air still funneled in and teased the campfire Tumiel built for us. Our group didn't seem to notice. They lay, dead to the world, sleeping deeply after their ordeal, their bodies exhausted and in desperate need of a shutdown. But for me, sleep was evasive. My chest felt heavy, as if someone had settled a weight on it. I sat staring into the flames, my mind weary of battling the memories that fought to surface. Jamie had been a part of my life for so long. My rock, my anchor, my mentor, friend. Then, later, my lover. He'd gotten under my skin despite my resolve not to let him. And just when I'd finally cracked, finally admitted how I felt and accepted it, he'd been taken from me. Fate was a fucking bitch. But I could give her the finger because I wouldn't change that moment of acceptance for anything. I wouldn't change telling him how I felt. I wish I could have realized sooner that we could have had more time together. But at least he knew before he knew I loved him. A tear slipped down my cheek and I dashed it away. I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to break down. Not now. Not ever. Jamie and Javier would expect more from me. They'd expect me to be strong for our people and get them to safety. A shadow fell over me and I looked up as Bastion lowered himself beside me. My gaze slipped past him to the hulking shapes of the winged watchers. I was bound to these fallen celestial males in a way I'd never have imagined. They spoke in hushed voices, unaware of my scrutiny. Shem was the first to look over at me, his piercing blue eyes bright in the gloom as his gaze locked with mine. Awareness shot through me, a connection that made my thighs bunch with the need to go to him, to be close to him. His eyes narrowed and the corner of his mouth tipped knowingly before he released me from the cage of his scrutiny. Anger flared in my chest, spawned by frustration at this unwanted connection, at the fact that he could affect me in any way, even now when I'd lost the person most important to me. Guilt followed hot on its heels, because how could I feel anything aside from grief right now? "Done with your powwow with the Watchers?" My words came out bitter and angry. Bastion lowered his huge frame to the ground beside me.
"Strategizing. You could have joined us."
My rage melted, leaving me numb.
"I'm sorry.
I don't know why." I trailed off, too tired to even explain myself.
"You're angry," Bastion said. "So am I. I get it."
My gut tightened. I was such a selfish bitch, acting like I was the only one who'd lost someone. We all had, Bastion included. He'd lost his best friends. I slipped my hand into his and we laced fingers.
"I'm sorry."
"No need to be." He squeezed my fingers slightly.
"We'll get through it. Together."
We sat in silence for several seconds, holding hands, feeding each other strength through that connection.
"So, what did you strategize?"
He gave my hand another squeeze, then let go.
"Tumiel and Zack are going to keep eyes on the roof, and Shem, Sark, and I will take turns on perimeter checks for the next couple of hours. Then we get moving and stop again at dawn. But the worst should be over by then."
The worst. People exploding into ash. The Celestials. Killers. Rage tightened my gut, and I breathed through my nose to release it. "They'll need more than a couple of hours."
"I know, but it's all we can afford. If we want to make it to the colony before nightfall tomorrow, then we need to keep moving."
"They need to eat.
Sark is already on it. They'll have something before we leave."
They thought of everything while I'd sat here dwelling. Fuck, I was losing my grip. "I should go see what I can do to help." I made to stand, but he gently gripped my arm and tugged me back down.
"You can help by sleeping. We need you in top form once we begin the trek."
"We? You're a team with them now." He gave me a quizzical look.
"Are we all a team?"
I studied his face in the firelight. Flat cheekbones and straight nose smudged with dirt. His sea-green eyes were filled with shadows that echoed the gloom in my soul. Bastion wasn't conventionally handsome, but he had a look about him, a charisma that drew people, drew me. I reached up on impulse to touch his jaw, thumb grazing his bottom lip. His mouth parted slightly.
"Rue?"
His voice came at a gruff whisper that teased my pulse into a soft flutter. What was I doing? What was I starting? Reaching for comfort in this contact with someone that was a part of Jamie, a part of me.
Us.
Bastion was right. I should sleep. Shut down my frazzled mind and recharge it before I did something stupid and impulsive and fucked up our friendship. I smiled up at him. "Will you stay with me until I fall asleep?"
"Of course."
I lay down on the wood floor, pillowing my head on my arm. There were no blankets, no luxuries. But now that I allowed my body to relax, sleep dug in its claws. The solid weight of Bastion's arm settled across my waist and the heat of his chest pressed to my back.
"Sleep now, Rue."
His lips grazed my cheek and sleep claimed me. Vanilla-scented flowers surrounded me. I was in a field, in the field again, the one Michael had drawn me to twice before. This was his dreamscape. Last time I'd come here, the sun had been high and bright. This time, the sky was tinged gold and orange, and the air was cool and fresh against my skin. The scene should have been relaxing, but angry tentacles of rage unfurled and wrapped around my chest. "Where are you?" I turned on the spot, scanning the landscape of swaying, long-stemmed flowers that stretched as far as the eye could see.
"Show yourself, you bastard!"
The air in front of me shimmered and Michael appeared. His golden hair was windswept and his sapphire eyes brimmed with urgency.
"I'm sorry," he said. "I know you must feel betrayed," but I slapped him in the face.
This was a dream, but the crack of my palm against his cheek sounded and felt all too real, feeding the twisted fury inside me. It would have been more satisfying.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?